In 2007, Congress was aware of the mounting problems of post-traumatic stress disorder and other psychological problems, as well as traumatic brain injury, and made a lot of money available to try to develop systems and to conduct research to help out our wounded warriors. In the Air Force, we established mental health teams to address that need, and my job in headquarters for the Air Force Medical Service, in charge of telemedicine and imaging and cyber medicine activities, was to provide our mental health community with the information that they needed to make a decision about how to go forward with this.
And they really latched on to the virtual reality project. They really liked that idea. What does that hold that has so much appeal?
Well, the treatment of choice for PTSD, or post-traumatic stress disorder, is prolonged exposure therapy. There are many treatments available for PTSD, and many of them show benefit, but the one that's got the best data is prolonged exposure therapy. And in prolonged exposure therapy, one immerses oneself into the event mentally, into the event that caused the trauma. Now, usually this is done with one's imagination, and by retelling the event in a therapeutic situation with the therapist, so one is imagining being back into that situation. But many people have difficulty doing that, either because it's too frightening for them or they just can't allow themselves to think of it. What virtual reality does is it helps a person immerse themselves into that experience by using the computer animated systems to immerse themselves into the environment visually and with sound and with smell and with a vibration sense. So it's not a new treatment. It's not a different treatment. The technology augments the currently available treatments and is therefore really an extension tool of the therapeutic approach.
Is it like a video game?
Well, the system that we're using is called Virtual Iraq, and it was developed at the University of Southern California's Institute for Creative Technology. The lead on the project was Dr. Skip Rizzo. And using money made available by the Office of Naval Research and by the Army's Telemedicine and Advanced Technology Research Center, or TATRIC, they took the software for Full Spectrum Warrior, a video game. And then instead of just using the video game for therapy, the software was sort of taken apart bit by bit so that all of the different elements of the game could be introduced discreetly and carefully as needed for someone's situation. So it looks like a video game. It sort of plays, if you will, like a video game. But the therapist learns each person's particular story and then can immerse the patient into one of two scenarios. We have a city that's really designed around Fallujah. And then the other scenario is that one can be in a Humvee going down a road, and one can be either the driver, one can be in the passenger seat or in the gun turret. And then as one goes through either of these scenarios, various stimuli can be carefully added. So let's say, for example, you're driving down a desert road in the Humvee, and you had the traumatic experience at night. Well, the computer system can change it to night vision, and let's say that you had an experience when you were ambushed from an overpass. Well, you can just change the software so that the person is driving toward an overpass. We can simulate the ambush experience. You can have more or fewer troops with you, additional vehicles behind you, in front of you, and so on and so forth. And so the look and feel of it is very much like a video game. Now, this is really helpful for some of our younger troops and airmen and Marines and sailors, because so many of them have grown up with video games as just a normal part of their experience. So this feels very natural to them.
Now, how do you make sure this has the momentum, the whole project, the whole program has the momentum to get some tentacles throughout all of the military branches, not just one or two places here and there, because I have to think that there's a cost to it. And there are probably some people out there who maybe aren't buying into it. So it's your job to really make sure that they do. How do you do that?
Well, yeah, that's a good question. One of the things we do when it comes to our work with the other services is that we work very closely with them in conjunction with the Defense Center of Excellence for Psychological Health and Traumatic Brain Injury. They have a branch that's the Center for Telehealth and Technology. They're centered out at Tacoma, at Madigan Army Medical Center. We've done our training at Madigan Army Medical Center with the Defense Center of Excellence people, with Army experts, and so on. And we're in close communication with the Navy and the Army communities who are using this approach. Now, what we're trying to do to ensure that this is done as tightly as possible is that the software we're using is the same software that the Army and Navy are using. The hardware that we're using is the same hardware. And we've just deployed our 8 sites, which completed the deployment only a few months ago, and our therapists are just getting up and going with the with offering the treatment.
Yeah, I was going to ask, this seems like a very new project, and as you just illustrated, it's only a few months old, so is it too early to say yet what the impact is, if you're getting a good response from potential patients?
Well, it's too early to say definitively. The research for prolonged exposure therapy, the data for that is very good. The data from using virtual reality for post 9/11 victims and for Vietnam victims is also promising data. The initial data from the current deployment using virtual Iraq, that data comes from studies at the University of Southern California, along with researchers at Emory and Cornell. And that data is limited but promising. We've got the data on an initial 20 people who have gone through the system and have completed treatment, and there was an approximately 50% decrease in symptoms. And at the end of that treatment, 16 of the 20 people no longer met criteria for PTSD. So we know that it's helpful. The other things about that study that are interesting is that that troops accepted the reality of the animation very well, even though when this started the animation was top notch, but now with the advances in video games, the graphics and stuff look a little cartoonish by comparison. But nevertheless, when you immerse a troop into that, they all experienced it as very real and very helpful. And now, one of the most encouraging things about this, we think, is that by offering a high-tech treatment for young soldiers and airmen, is that they may be more willing to come and use this type of high-tech treatment than they would be to just do regular talk therapy, which for many of them, and perhaps even for most of them, would be experienced as a sign of weakness, whereas getting on a high-tech gadget to sort of recondition themselves and get back ready to, ready to deploy or ready for their work and so on, may be more acceptable to them.